Here's Auditor General Tsakani Maluleke on just how chaotic municipal finances are.
One of the areas that we focus on in this report is the disclaimer audit opinion. Those municipalities that are unable to demonstrate what they have spent money on. Because we cannot rely on the information that is prepared by these municipalities, we went to third-party information. So we went to the Treasury's information and we checked the equitable share that was allocated to that municipality. We checked the conditional grant that was allocated. And that number for 22 municipalities came to 6.5 billion rand. And then we went to the bank account and checked what was sitting in the bank account for. That is third-party information as well. And we found that where 6.5 billion rand had gone through these municipalities over the year, only a billion rand, just under a billion rand, was sitting in the bank accounts at the end of the year. In between, nobody's reporting, nobody's accounting, and nobody really knows for sure what has happened to this money. And I'm hoping, Honorable Chairpersons and members, this gives you a sense of just how serious it is for an auditee to have a disclaimer audit opinion in terms of what it tells you about the relative chaos in terms of financial management happening.
Disturbing, to say the least. Of those 22 municipalities, 7 were in the Northwest, 4 in Mpumalanga, 4 in KZN, 4 in the Eastern Cape, 2 in the Northern Cape, and 1 in the Western Cape. This is a widespread issue, and maybe even worse in the Free State, says, according to the Auditor General, she wasn't able to complete those audits from those province, from that province, because municipalities either submitted their information too late or nothing at all. Gray Maguire is a green economy and global change expert who's written an interesting piece in the Business Day, giving us some perspective on the potential for us to move towards a greener economy and, I suppose, lighten the load from Eskom's generation capacity. But, of course, that's something that requires much better financial management in order for us to take advantage of. Gray, welcome to Breakfast with Rufilwe. How are you this morning?
Good morning, Rufilwe. I'm very well, and yourself?
Likewise. Excellent. Thank you. Gray, your perspective starts from, a much more utopian space. We're talking about moving towards green economy and trying to really keep up with our promises. Please, won't you frame the picture for us in terms of how much credit, climate credit, South Africa is liable to get?
So, Rufilwe, I think first and foremost, I need to point out that it really isn't looking at it from a utopian perspective. It's very much about looking at it from a cost perspective.
Sure.
The reality is that new coal power generation in South Africa, in the last round of the Independent Power Producer Program back in 2016, new coal is coming in at 1 rand 3 cents per kilowatt hour, and new wind and solar at only 62 cents. Per kilowatt hour. So this really is a matter of cost competitiveness. And it's also a matter of speed. We need to be able to roll out these technologies very rapidly. And as you've seen with Medupi and Kusile, these kinds of projects can take exceptionally long. With Eskom's electricity factor at 60% currently, it means that continued rolling blackouts are pretty much guaranteed for at least the next 2 years while we bring emergency power online. What is necessary, though, is that we are able to start to really invest in both business infrastructure in order to be able to generate their own electricity, but also allow municipalities that are, as the president says, of good financial standing in order to be able to purchase either from IPPs, independent power producers themselves, or in order to be able to generate their own electricity. The problem with that is that when only 20, or in this case, this is now obviously the updated figure, which is now 27, of the municipalities across the country have clean audits, that means that very few municipalities actually qualify in order to be able to get the finance to either enter into these long-term purchase agreements or to themselves actually get the finance to invest in renewable energy generation or any kind of energy generation. And that's deeply problematic. So it means that our investment readiness of the municipality is just simply not there.
This is a really disturbing stat that you indicated also in your piece, that there are currently 163 municipalities in financial distress. That's over half. and 40 of them in a financial and service delivery crisis. You know, this means that it's not just the financial management, as you rightly say, in terms of the allocation or the ability to generate or acquire electricity differently, but clearly they'll probably have an operational and rollout problem, won't they?
Well, yes, there's that. And then there's the further statistic that you didn't mention from the piece, and that is that 102 municipalities have adopted budgets that they cannot fund. And that is a critical component, because really what we're also talking about is we're not just talking about their financial standing, so their stock of finance or their governance. What we're talking about is their revenue flows. And currently what is happening is that the single largest source of revenue for municipalities is electricity sales. So what we've got is we've got a scenario where municipalities are obviously, they are pushed to the maximum in terms of their ability to be able to access finance in the first case. But also what is going to happen now as independent power producers start to come online more, and as individual companies start to generate more and more of their power production. For example, the Energy Intensive Users Group is only 26 companies. They generate 22% of the GDP of South Africa. Those companies are, you can bet that the first thing that they did after the president made his announcement is that they started to commission their plans in order to be able to generate their own electricity and ensure the viability of their companies. But what that means for municipalities that up until that point in time had been servicing them with electricity, that revenue component is now lost to those municipalities. So it means that there's this shrinking pool from which municipalities can draw in order to be able to cross-subsidize other services. And that is deeply problematic as well. So, you know, if we're looking around in the South African context, we've got a situation where the majority of municipalities in the Western Cape are being run with good financial standing. But outside of the Western Cape, what's happening is that there is really massive and widespread financial maladministration. And those are Tito Mboweni's words, not mine.
Yeah.
It's creating a circumstance where municipalities are going to be unable to service the needs of the vast majority of people who aren't in a position in order to be able to generate their own power or to be able to leverage their own services, as we're seeing more and more of the middle class and wealthy households are starting to do.
Indeed. And I suppose compounding that is also a far less sympathetic or empathetic Eskom over time. We're seeing sort of targeted, they don't fall into what's called blackouts or load shedding, but sort of electricity interruption in certain densely populated areas who also happen to be usually errant payers or have faulty, fake connections or questionable connections. The likes of which include Soweto and...
Well, I mean, this is part of the problem, though. I mean, if you look at an area like Soweto, I mean, there's been a boycott on payments from people in Soweto for a number of years now. There's over 4 billion rands worth of debt from Soweto residents to Eskom and the city of Joburg. Well, first the city of Joburg and then to Eskom by virtue of the continued on payments. So, you know, this culture of non-payment is massive and rife. And, you know, it's a situation where we see that a lot of the actual revenue that is reported on the books of municipalities is simply not collected, because either at an individual business level or at a household level, there is a widespread culture of non-payment for services that's spread across the country. So unfortunately, I think that there's very few opportunities for Eskom in order to be able to really make their point heard unless they do start to cut off municipalities, which they're starting to do. And this is part of what it is that we're seeing in the success of André de Ruyter's, who's managed to reduce Eskom's debt from 490 billion rand down to 400 billion rand over the course of his tenure at the helm of Eskom.
When does the energy crunch finally happen? I mean...
We receive warning about when will it happen. It depends on who you ask, but some of the most recent studies, one of which came from Meridian Economics about 2-3 weeks ago, says that we have about 500 days left in order to be able to really sort it out before we really do start to run into significant problems, which means that we're going to be cutting things on a very, very fine line. The reality is that we do need complete overhaul of the Electricity Regulation Act in South Africa. It's not enough to make these piecemeal small bit changes that we're busy seeing that is coming out of the Department of Mineral Resources and Energy at the moment. And even then, you know, even if we were to have a complete overhaul of the regulations along the lines of willing buyer, willing seller, which is really what it needs to come down to, it still takes a long time in order to be able to commission the kinds of energy projects that we need to come on board so incredibly urgently in order to be able to get us out of this problem. There is fortunately about potentially up to 5,000 megawatts worth of dispatchable power that is in existence in South Africa that we can look at being able to tap into, stuff that has been essentially sidelined. We have got a number of smaller projects that have simply just not been commissioned by Gwede Mantashe, who has got a very hostile attitude towards renewable energy generation. I'm sure anyone who's been looking at the news recently would have seen that the level of approval and the speed with which these car power ships, these open cycle gas turbine floating power generation facilities that they've now included as part of their, well, they're attempting to include as part of their emergency power generation pipeline. We see that these projects go ahead, whereas meanwhile, for example, the small power projects that were told to be kept shovel ready for the last 5 years has simply been sidelined. There really is a very worrying situation around this. I'm sure this is not news to any of your listeners. Every South African has been concerned about the situation on power. We're all concerned about the continued rolling blackouts. We're concerned about the fact that since 2007, there's been over a 470% increase in the price of electricity. These are very worrying trends, and really, if we're going to see that we're going to move through this in any meaningful fashion, it's going to happen with an unbundled Eskom. The deadline for that is December 2021, and then we will have, certainly the theory is that we will have three different entities with an Eskom: generation, distribution, transmission. And for us, really, what that means is that we need to ensure that municipalities can start to step it up and start to make their accounts more accountable so that they're more investment ready and that they can start to actually participate in providing electricity solutions to the populace and not just rely on the private sector to do so.
Graeme Maguire, thank you very much. Green economy and global change expert.